Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. This is Vivian Louise Sharp. Miss Carlisle, are you there? Miss Carla? Mr. Let's see, who is there?
Carla Carlisle is on the line. Why she can't speak, I don't know. Her phone is not acting. We can't hear you, Carla. Carla, are you there? We cannot hear you, Carla. Carla. Hello?
Maybe she's not on yet.
She was on. We couldn't hear her. Let's see if she called back in the next few minutes, Vivian.
I think I heard her just now.
No, you didn't hear her yet. Well, talk a little bit about her while we wait on her.
Okay. Today, shooting the breeze, I'm Vivian Louise Sharp.
Hold on, let me see. Carla, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Oh, wonderful. Miss Carlisle?
Hi. How are you?
Go ahead, Brandon. Let's see, man.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Okay, I was unmuted. All right, good. Miss Carlisle, now you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you, and it says I'm unmuted now.
Right, that's what mine said, too. I didn't know I was muted. Okay, I'm calling you from a city in the Northeast, and we're going to have a chat for about a half hour with it and talk about some of the things that you have been through with TED Talks. And you've done a lot of TED Talks, I see, and you have a wonderful life with your child. And let's just get on with it. So tell me about how it started, your becoming a parent.
Sure. And first of all, thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
I became a parent in 2010 after going through a very tumultuous journey with my ex-husband. Through infertility, and we went through a pretty tough divorce, and I found myself with a lot of degrees, but no child, which is something that I had always dreamed of, becoming a mom. So I became a parent through the foster care system, and I received a call after going through training to become a foster parent, and they said, hey, we have a 10-day-old, 2-month premature baby who is just 10 days old. He's at the hospital now. What do you think? And I said, well, how much time do I have to think? And they said, well, right now we'll call the next foster parent. So I said, okay, let's do this. So in 30 minutes, I was at the hospital with a car seat from Target, and that's my introduction to my son, JC. And for 6 months, he and I lived together as mother and son with weekly visits with the birth parent, supervised weekly visits. And then at 6 months, the judge decided that my son should go back to the birth mom. I should also mention that, I should also mention that she had 25 pregnancies, 11 children, and he was child number 11, and she had lost her parental rights to the other 10. So by that time, after 6 months, I realized that, you know, the mom had been through a lot as a child. So meeting her was really my introduction to intergenerational trauma. And so I saw, I saw firsthand what could happen if a child did not feel safe in a home and did not have the appropriate support. So I just decided to let my foster license expire, and I tried for about 6 years to co-parent with her and the birth father. And then when my son was 6 years old, he had a pretty major mental health crisis, and then I sought emergency custody because, you know, the safety and well-being of the child was always the most important thing.
Most important thing, right, right, of course.
Yeah.
I see where you have, I'm skipping a little bit, the Compassionate Companion Incorporated. Is that
yes.
as because of what you did with your son? I mean, you wanted to form a company as well to help other people?
Sure. So I have two businesses. The Compassionate Companion LLC is the for-profit business, and then the Compassionate Companion Inc. is really for donations to my son and I, who is now 12. We wrote an interactive children's workbook to really help elementary school age kids learn about how to process their feelings in a healthy way. And it came out of 10 years of, you know, working with my son and with therapists and things like that. And so when we released the book, we wanted to be able to donate copies of the book to different organizations supporting children. So thus far, we've had over 650 books purchased and donated to different organizations like a children's hospital, like an organization called Kindermorn, which supports children who have lost a parent or adults who have lost children, and a domestic violence shelter, just different organizations where while we want every child to get a copy of My Big Notebook, we know that not every child's family situation will support that. So the Compassionate Companion, Inc. is a way that people can purchase and donate copies of My Big Notebook to give out to children.
Oh, that's fantastic, because children really are, well, they're the beginning of the new world is what I call it. If you don't
Absolutely.
Have a child straightened out, he's just going to be sad. And I see where you had with your son, JC, you went through a lot, both of you as well.
Yeah.
And the birth mother, I don't know how you did it, with a lot of prayer probably and sticking in there. Did
yes.
you?
Yes, I'm a big believer. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm a big believer in prayer with works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, God gives us, you know, the ability, you know, that free will to seek wise counsel and to, you know, build our support system because, you know, it's something I definitely could not have done on my own.
Right. And the TED Talks that you did, you had quite a few of them. How did you get involved with TED Talks? Did they call you or they just found you or you found them?
So through, I knew one of the people involved with the TEDx organization, and she and I talked about me becoming a TEDx speaker. So I just went through the process like everyone else, and it worked out very, very well, and I'm happy with my TEDx talk. It's called Becoming Trauma-Informed Changed My Life, and that's something I'm really happy to share with the world because I think it's important that, you know, now we know about the impact of trauma, especially on our children, that we share that, you know, with the world. And then I don't know that everyone really gets, because I did not, the impact of trauma on all of us. So for me, after going through those, you know, many years of trying to support my son and his birth parents and then going through a couple of years of court, you know, it was very traumatic for me. And I found myself like 40 pounds overweight, over $100,000 in debt. And just, you know, feeling lost and alone. And it wasn't until I better understood, you know, the impact of trauma. And here I am, an adult with a strong support system, you know, and I know how I felt. So I could just imagine the impact, not just on my child, but, you know, other children. And so that has really prompted me to do everything that I can for our children and their families, you know, to bring awareness around the impact of trauma and how we can really work on our resiliency. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if in this world we didn't need to be resilient? But with everything that happens in the world, you know, we do need to work that muscle and learn how to exercise resiliency. And part of that is understanding like simple tools and techniques that can help mm-hmm. us make it through hard times, like something simple like deep breathing, which resets our brain. You know, taking 5 deep breaths can just mm-hmm. refresh, reset our brain. And those are things that are used in everything from karate to therapy to even the Navy SEALs use deep breathing. They call it something different, but it's really the same thing essentially. And just understanding real basic tools and techniques like that can make all the difference in the world. And I'm not saying breathing can save you from hard times, but it certainly is a way to help you cope.
Well, I believe in that because I have a Discover Yourself app, and we have deep breathing and relaxation, and I have gotten that from when I was working with diabetes. They gave us a CD, and it was about deep breathing, relaxation, walking in the park, you know.
Yes.
And so that
yes,
is a great thing to have. It's a great thing to have for you. You had the young man, JC, he wanted to commit suicide at some times for his young age. How did that affect him over a period of time? I mean, did he ever come out of that, or did he just work his way out of wanting to commit suicide?
Yeah, so part of what happened, you know, when my son was living with his birth mother, you know, she had what we call suicidal ideation. So she talked about suicide daily. And so if you can imagine a child from, you know, a very young age of 6 months up until age 6, hearing about suicide day in and day out, to him it became a kind of a normal way of functioning, which is really unfortunate. But, you know, his mom had some mental health challenges, and, you know, that was a part of her life. And so it, in turn, became a part of his life. And so when he considered death by suicide, that's when I knew, you know, things were not working as I had hoped, and I needed to take drastic measures and get emergency custody. And from that, we were able to get him, you know, some help with therapy and intensive in-home therapy and a number of different things. And really the outcome of that is a much happier, healthier child who's really interested in doing so much for others. And I just love that about my son, that he is a very giving child, and his hands were all through this book that we've done together, My Big Notebook, because he wants kids to know that it's okay to express your feelings. If you remember, like, back in the day, we, you know, it used to be like, hey, suck it up, you know, don't cry, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And we know now that there's power in tears, that, you know, it's okay to get your feelings out, whether it's through writing or with kids, it could be coloring. There are different ways of expression that can be really healthy. And my son has really become somewhat of a master on some of those coping skills. I won't say he uses them all the time, but he certainly does most of the time.
How old is he now? What
he's
age?
12
is
now.
Is he in high school?
He's 12.
Okay, wonderful. And does he seem to want to do a certain kind of work, you know, when he gets at that point in college or something like that? Does he have a certain tendency to do a certain type of work? Does he draw?
Well, so I'll share this with you. First of all, now he's already an author, right? So he helped me with my big notebook. Yes, so he's already got that under his belt. We do call him the junior editor, but he definitely helped me put this whole thing together. JC is very interested. First of all, he loves football and basketball, so he's an athlete. But he's very interested in, you know, becoming a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, something to help kids. And what he told me was that he would love to, like, have a facility, you know, to help children, either, you know, maybe some kind of foundation or something like that, and he's more than capable of doing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's wonderful because that helps him to improve as well, not improve, but get it out of his system as well because he's working with other people, and the caring of that will help him. I am so excited about meeting with you because you're doing something that I don't think I've had an author do what you're doing. And it's very interesting because I had a marriage that caused me to have a nervous breakdown. And I was worried about another person. So how did you get through all of that without having a nervous breakdown?
Well,
worrying about
question.
Other people, you know.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And so one of the things that I do now, I do workshops for people. And one of the workshops I do is called Care for Caregivers because, as I mentioned to you, by the time I actually got custody of my son and eventually adopted him, I was not in the best shape, like emotionally, physically, spiritually in any way. And so I realized for me to be the best caregiver for him, I needed to take care of myself. So I believe that self-care is like the air that we breathe. You have to do it. And so I really had to take control of my health, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and in every aspect. And widen my support system, understand that my support system will look different over time depending on the needs, and just take some time for myself. Just a simple example is, you know, in the foster care area, we call it respite when someone else takes care of your child for a period of time. And so this isn't respite because he's no longer my foster child, but, you know, I had a trusted friend take JC for the day yesterday, and I went and spent the day with a good friend of mine who was in town, and we just hung out at a pool and just relaxed.
Right.
And for me, a carefree day is something I treasure. You know, no kids, no worries. I have, you know, we all have things we have to do, and they're always going to be there, but we have to take that time to just relax and exhale. You know, to me, it's so very important to feed our spirit and our soul. And so I really do practice that. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that as well.
Yes, that's wonderful because it's necessary. I am so intrigued by your stamina. I mean, how did you do that? How did you get through all of that? I mean, you just hung in there.
The way I would put it is this. For 6 years, I lived in what I would call hypervigilance mode. It is very unhealthy. It's like, when is the next bomb going to drop? What's going to happen next? You can't be prepared for every scenario, but something's going to come up that I would never have imagined. And there was always a crisis. And what kept me going in those years was my love for JC, because I knew he was counting on me. Even when he couldn't articulate the words, he didn't have the words, but we had that love bond with each other. And if anyone had the ability to support him, it was me. And I tried my best to support his birth mom as well for a very long time. And I just want to say, you know, just to clarify, I have no ill will toward his birth mom. I have so much compassion for her. And we do pray for her and his birth father that one day they're able to get the help they need and live happy and healthy lives.
Yeah.
When I talk to JC about his birth parents, I just talk to him about, you know, they're not well. They're not well, and we just want the best for them. And so, you know, without her, he would not be in my life. And I just look at life and say, you know, but for the grace of God, who knows who I would be or what I would be if I had not had my upbringing, if I had not had loving parents. It's not really about money. It's about that foundation of love and support.
Right.
And I know his mother did not have that. I think, mm-hmm. you know, that's the thing about intergenerational trauma. You continue what you learn, even if you believe it's not right.
Right. That's true. That's true. And you are experiencing more of that nowadays, that everything is happening with the neighborhood. The neighborhood is, I think, sometimes just gone crazy.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
not really a good thing to say, but what's happening to the neighborhood for the young children that are coming behind the grandparents that taught everyone how to live, and the grandparents can't even talk to them anymore. They don't listen. So what do you think about the young generation that's coming behind us now? What do you think that we can do to help bring them around so they don't want to kill themselves and shoot people? I mean, what is that about?
Well, I think that, you know, our kids today have so many pressures on them that we didn't experience, and I'm not minimizing the things that we
yeah.
had to deal with as young children, but, you know, between the internet and there's so much information, and all of it's not good information, right?
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have, you know, extremely young parents, oftentimes without the appropriate support. And so what I believe
yeah.
is if we can get to our very young kids, like elementary school age kids,
yes.
and help them with first of all, not being ashamed of whatever feelings they have. You know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have an outlet to express your feelings, I think, is so very critical. And that's really why we developed My Big Notebook. And our big goal is to get this notebook in the hands of every elementary school age child in the country. And I
oh,
believe
that's...
just wholeheartedly that this will help kids, even if they're not comfortable speaking with an adult, to write down mm-hmm. their feelings, to color their feelings, to draw their feelings, to get them out and to understand, like, what they can do with it, just some real basic coping skills. And I think that as we, especially in this age when kids don't talk, they text.
Yeah.
They it's really hard. I talk to different, like, teens and young adults, and they have a very hard time expressing their feelings, but they can text it.
They can text it.
But they
yeah,
can't
yeah.
think it. And so that's why we have things like the Suicide Prevention Hotline now has a text line specifically
oh,
for younger children and young adults, because it's easier for them to text. And the other thing that one of the things I'm involved in is a study right now for, I think it's 15 to 21-year-olds going into the emergency department and with, you know, thoughts of suicide or maybe even
yeah.
suicide attempts. So we want them to know that, hey, you have support, you are loved, and you're valuable. And I think the more we
yeah.
pour into our kids, the better. And they need to hear that from people who they look like.
And
they need to not just hear it, but feel it.
Right, right. I have a lady named Dina Black, and she calls it Black Talk. And for the first time, I heard her yesterday on my radio app. I have one called Discover Yourself radio app, and you can put it on your phone or your tablet or whatever. And she was talking about African-Americans, of course, and she was
uh-huh.
talking about she doesn't understand sometimes how the young ladies are wearing bonnets and big long eyelashes and different things that we don't understand why we're doing these things. And other people, young people, are seeing all of that. And so
uh-huh.
I guess we have to work harder to erase some of those things that some of the young women are, and young men are doing from our race. And it's affecting
well,
the young people, the young kids.
Well, I,
so
I just
how can we
that,
what can we do? Uh-huh.
I think that a lot of it is, and I'm just being candid because I talk with a lot of young adults. It's like
mm-hmm.
they just have not been taught anything different. They have not been
yeah.
taught about self-esteem and self-awareness and things like that, and having pride in yourself and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I mean, one thing I do love about the younger generation is that there is a level of freedom and a way to express oneself, but I think that there are healthy ways of doing that. And so the more we as adults, instead of talking to them or at them, can listen and speak with them and really practice active listening, I think it's all for the better. We have a lot of people who come on TV or on the radio and talk down to these kids, and they're just going to shut down and do what they do even more.
Right, right.
It's like,
well, I want to get you to wrap up some things that you are in your heart right now. I would like to ask you to express your opinion and also your heart. What do you think out of your mind right now that you would like to say to the young people today that are struggling to get through every day? What would you like to say to someone to maybe make their day better?
So to any young person right now who is struggling, who's having a hard time and who feels alone, I just first want to say you're not alone, that there are mm-hmm. people like me and many of us out here who really care about you, and you add value to this world. And if you don't know that, just be open to that possibility, because you're here for a reason, and your voice and your life matters in this world. And just like me, I was on one course thinking my life was going to be one way, and life ends up taking a lot of twists and turns that are very different than what we would imagine. So you just don't know how your one life could affect somebody else's. So I would just say reach out. If you need support, reach out. There are a lot of programs out there, and I list some of them on my website. And there's mm-hmm. also the suicide prevention text line and hotline if, you know, kids need immediate help out there. But you are loved and of value.
Now, tell me about your notebook. That's a book. It's just called The Notebook. Is that it?
It's called My Big Notebook. It's an interactive children's workbook. It's actually a workbook. It has stories from JC's life. It introduces things like positive affirmations, coping skills. It has coloring and journaling pages. And I really call it the start of a kid's mental health toolkit. The book is a buddy in a book for kids mm-hmm. who maybe, really it's for any elementary school age kid to get them expressing feelings at a very young age. It's something that kids can do on their own or with a parent or with a trusted adult.
Well, I hope the machine doesn't turn us off. We got about 2 more minutes. Would you like to say something to the cause of a person who may be listening, male, female, old, young, that will maybe cause them to stick with it and change their lives? Something that maybe you have done all your life that held you.
Yeah, I'm a big believer, as I mentioned before, in prayer and prayer with works. So what I mean by that is we pray, and then God puts people in our lives that can help us elevate. It may be a therapist, it may be a trusted adult, it could be anyone, but we have to be open to that. And when we close ourselves off to the possibilities, then we miss out on opportunities for greatness. And so my whole goal in life is to help people go from just surviving to really thriving in their lives. And so, again, I'm a big believer in prayer, but we got to put in that work too. And work could simply be about being open to a possibility that we were closed off to.
Finally, how can we get in touch with you or your books, or how do we find you? I know how, but how the people don't
know
how.
My books are on Amazon. You can put in Amazon My Big Notebook by Carla A. Carlisle. I'm on all forms of social media at Carla A. Carlisle, and it's C-A-R-L-A MacarlisLe. And I'm all over social media through that handle.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you have a marketing firm or do you have a staff that helps you with that, the marketing?
Not right now, I don't. I mean, I'm working with Myron right now. I don't have a marketing firm, and I do. I have someone who contracts with me, but right now it's primarily me and my kids helping me.
Bless you. Well, Myron's a good everything. And I think you'll be very happy. I'm so happy to talk to you, and I want to speak with you again, and I will look you up and
awesome.
Watch your TED Talks and pray for all the things that you do, because prayer is a big thing for me. And I'm glad Myron brought you on. And thank you so very much for coming on Choosing the Breeze. And I'm Vivian Louise Sharp. You can find me on Google. And
thank you.
We'll thank you so much, Miss Carlisle, Miss Carla A. Carlisle, .com. Okay. Yeah. He said 30 minutes, so the machine will shut us off after a while.